Verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And one of the most powerful verses in Holy Writ, and it's still relevant today. John chapter 2, verse 5, and the mother of Jesus, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, just do it. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them with to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And the ruler of the feast, when he had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew, and the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth not set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. You know, the message today, I just feel a command from God. I've brought this message in many different parts of the world. I've brought it in the body of Christ here at Calvary downtown and here from time to time. But it's been a while since I've ministered along these lines from John chapter 2. Now, I realize that everyone here this morning is not married, but I believe that everyone will profit from what I'm sharing with you, because with that in mind, looking at it from a pastor's heart, every point here, I believe, is of significance to every person, whether single or married. But let me tell you, especially to the married, God, I believe, has a message for us today. It's always fascinated me that the very first miracle of Jesus was at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. It wasn't the withered hand or the blind eye or the woman at the well. It was concerning a wedding, a brand new wedding, a brand new beginning for two lives. And something I've said over the years, as your marriage goes, so goes your life. Your marriage is not just a convenience situation. Your life is vitally affected by your marriage. And I suppose I have as much authority here this morning as anyone, not just as a pastor, but this August, Joe and I will have been married 62 years. And we've both learned a lot about marriage. We've both learned a lot about life and about God. A happy marriage not only affects you, it affects your family, and God knows how many believers as well as unbelievers around the world. First most important thing in your life is to be born again. There's nothing else that is more important than knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. And in Calvary, we make the first thing and the most important thing, we keep it in place. For those that are married, the second most important thing in your life is who you marry. And let me pause right here, no matter what the past has been. Calvary's the church. We're a Romans 8 church. We're where we are. We're where you are. You can't unspill spilled milk if there's been that in the past. But we start where we are today. whether it be tithing or in our marriages. And I'm telling you that my faith is on the line, that if one marriage is helped today, if two marriages are helped today, it's worth all of us sitting here listening and learning and praying and agreeing for that. And you that have had marriages that have not worked out, you know how important it is for there to be harmony in marriages. And you can't make that happen. It's not psychology. It's not mind games. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by God's Spirit. So that's why Jesus' very first miracle was at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And it's interesting to notice this. Jesus and his disciples were invited to that marriage. You know, it's interesting to me. So many times people that make shipwreck leave church and pastor and the things of God on the sideline. If things are a bit shaky, if things are a little crazy, or if you don't quite know which way to go, don't run away from God. Run to God. And so we need to daily invite Jesus to be the Lord of our life and the Lord of our marriage. And you know, I drove by this last week. There's a building that hasn't been torn down in the process of all the hospital district there. And I looked at that building and I thought, about 60 years ago, a counselor looked at Joy and I and said, "You two can't make it." And it kind of looked like it at that point. We were both stubborn young people. We've learned a lot. But you know, we loved each other and we loved Jesus and we wanted to make it. We just didn't know how to get around some of the things that seemed so difficult. The counselor said no, but the great counselor said yes. And the only reason I bring that up, I mean, that's not even a constant memory with me, but the only reason I bring that up is to try to speak hope. Because this is a house of hope. This is a harbor of hope. And I believe with all of my heart, no matter how you came to church this morning, you're going home a different way. You're going home stronger and wiser. You're going home with the input of God's Word. So with that in mind, I'm sorry, I meant to give the PowerPoints to the sound booth, but I didn't. But get something and write this down. This is a $1 million message. Could be $2 or $3 million. Depends on what you're worth. Because there's a lawyer that can get what else you've got, all right? You might save a lot of money by listening to the message this morning. Plus a lot of heartache, a lot of grief, a lot of woe. Point number one. No marriage is impossible with God. Now again, there's no condemnation here today. But I'm reaching out with all my heart as a pastor. The world needs happy, godly marriages. Happy marriages build strong churches. No marriage is impossible with God. There's all kinds of things that are impossible with man, but nothing is impossible with God. And when that starts trying to get in your spirit and be a grass burr under your saddle, as the old cowboy would say, that's when you need to get a grip on it and say, "I will not harbor that thought or that feeling or that emotion. This is not impossible with God. It may seem impossible. It may look impossible. It may feel impossible. But I serve a God who can do the impossible." No marriage is impossible with God. Would you shout that point out with me? No marriage is impossible with God. All right. Point number two. change begins with me. But you don't understand, Pastor, he needs to change. She needs to change. And when they change, then I'll change. Just tune in to 820. There are several lawyers that are waiting for your money. I don't know if they still advertise it. Someone tells me it's still in that price range. But there used to be advertisements in the paper. Divorce, $49.50. It's the biggest lie that ever came down the turnpike. The only one that wins in divorces are the courts and the lawyers. But change begins with the one who desires to see change. You know, when you're mad, bitter, frustrated, upset, it's me change. What do you mean me change? Did you know all of us need to be in a constant state of changing? I don't know if you could see it, and it's none of your business where it's happening, but I'm in a state of constant change. And when this January rolled around, God and I had some very serious conversations. And I mean it with all my heart. Anywhere I need to change, anywhere God sees that I need to change, I'm committed to do that by His help. But especially in our marriage, change begins with the one who desires to see change. It's a very important point. And really, this is a companion thought to that. Be willing to repent and change. I remember more than once in trying to help people and trying to help marriages, I said, well, you know, you need to ask forgiveness. You know, it's amazing the people that have never said, I'm sorry. You know, it takes a big man or a big woman. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about in your heart. In business or in marriage or wherever, when you know you've missed it, to buck up and be a believer and say, you know, I missed it on that. I said something, not mean or mad, but I said just a hasty word here a few days ago. And I went back to that place of business. I said, I want to apologize. Some people say, well, you know, you ought to stand up for your rights. You know, the thing that I realized, we are living epistles born and read of all men. And you might go heavy on a clerk, you might go heavy on some situation, but you never know some soul that's hanging by a thread. You never know someone that says, I'm going to try it one more day, one more hour. I'm going to one more church and see if anybody cares. Well, it's important to be willing to repent and to change. Be willing to repent for your part of what. Now, I hope this doesn't sound negative, because it can be positive or negative. Because it really goes into Mark the 11th chapter, verses 24 and 25, that forgiveness is a must. Forgiveness is a must. I'm thinking of two situations among hundreds of others that I've dealt with over these many, many years of pastoring and ministry, who said, I can't forgive her. I can't forgive him. And yet they wound up doing twice as badly as the person they refused to forgive. Because you see, when we refuse to forgive, we open the door for the enemy to come in and take great advantage of us. Be willing to repent and change, and remember that forgiveness is a must. In fact, you know, it doesn't get any more serious than Mark the 11th chapter, verses 24 and 25, that if we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. I want to say that one more time. If we refuse to forgive, then God can't forgive us. And let me tell you, honey, that puts us in a world of hurt we can't handle. I'll tell you a prayer that I've prayed. You've heard me say it many times. If you're having some difficulty in forgiving, and I've had some things that I never thought I'd be facing at this time in my life, some of the most difficult things to forgive of my life. You know, I'm pretty nice guy sometimes, most of the time. And I try to treat people right, but you know, sometimes strange things happen in spite of everything. But you know, there's times I've had to pray, Father, as a faith act of, well, I pray that every day. As a faith act of my will, I choose to forgive. Now, Satan may knock on the door 1 hour later, and you have to say the same thing. Father, as a faith act of my will, I choose to forgive. And you know how many times the Bible talks about forgiveness. Be willing to repent and change. And remember that forgiveness, you cannot have a happy marriage without forgiveness. No way. Go out and kick the can or burn rubber or go to the firing range. Do whatever you got to do to work off your steam. But when it's all said and done, forgiveness is a must. And you're not going to be happy until you do forgive. There may be people in this auditorium that something happened 40 years ago and you haven't forgiven. 30 years ago, 10 years ago. But it still affects us spiritually every day of our life. One that you should be acquainted with, and that is Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It tells us that life and death are in the power of words. Watch your words. Watch your words. This is not just a marriage thing. This is a victorious living thing every day. Watch your words. I could take you to the little church. It's little compared to churches that we've had the last few years. Where my Sunday school teacher, Mr. Baker, on the second floor of the educational annex, he came to church one day and came to class one day, the boys' class, with a big pillow. We all wondered what that was all about. And he was teaching on words. And about midways in his teaching, he walked over and raised the window. We didn't have air conditioning in that annex. And it happened to be it was a downy pillow, you know, it had a lot of feathers in it, you know. And he got his pocket knife out and he cut the pillow and held it outside the window and those feathers. He said, okay, boys, go out there and get those feathers and come back to the class. We said, Mr. Baker, we can't do that. The wind's blown them away. We don't know where they are. He said, boys, never forget, your words are the same way. Never forget. It's easy to say those words, but it's well nigh impossible to go out and retrieve those words because you never know where those feathers go. You never know where they go. Watch your words. Look at a hound dog that's been mistreated. Look at a hound dog that hasn't, you know, some people, God forbid, how could anyone mistreat an animal? But you take an animal that's been mistreated and they're cowed. You can even see it in the demeanor of a dog. You can see it in a hound dog. You can see dogs that have been mistreated. Likewise, other animals too. You can see that. And you know, we need to remember that our words can heal or they can hurt. They can help or they can injure. Our words can build up or our words can tear down. Our words are very important. What you have in your mouth is stronger than any bomb that's ever been made. Stronger than any attack rifle or any explosion that could take a building down, and as the terrorists have done, and destroy X number of people's lives. Watch your words. Not only watch your words, but watch how you say your words. Words can be said in different ways. And let's watch our words. You know, It would be interesting if every politician had to read Proverbs. It would be interesting if all of us had to read Proverbs once a week. It's amazing what's said about words and attitudes and strife and division. It's hellish. It's one of the things that God hates. God hates. A loving God can't hate. Yeah, He can. God hates. He hates. Watch your words. Well, can't stay there. Here's another point that is very interesting. Give, when you're seeking change, give God and yourself time to heal and rebuild a good marriage. And that goes for relationships too. Give God and yourself time. You see, God's already done a work. Now the work needs to be done in us. Some things take time. You take in the area of finances. It takes a while. Well, it doesn't take too long to dig in. But it takes a while to dig in. I'm amazed at what people owe. I'm shocked. I'm shocked sometimes at the carelessness. And of course, credit cards are not as easy to come by as they used to. But, you know, there was a time that every one of us have received more than one credit card through the mail, encouraging us to get in debt. Yet you miss a payment and all hell breaks loose. But give yourself, God and yourself time to heal and rebuild. So we got things patched up. We talked, we prayed, we did what? But then don't expect 24 hours. Don't put God on a time clock. Give things time. It took time to dig in. It takes time to dig out. Sometimes. But if your heart's tender, it's amazing how you can get things back on track. It's amazing. We have a shower door upstairs at our house. And I tell you, that shower door, there are two sliding doors. They work so beautifully, but you get them off track. And you almost have to find yourself a screwdriver or a crescent wrench. I got caught in the shower one day and they wouldn't move, you know. They were off track. And you know, when we get off track, we're a mess too. I said, when we get off track, we're a mess too. But give God and yourself time to heal and rebuild a good marriage. These are good points. Here's another one. Marriage is not 50-50. Don't ever get yourself in a 50-50 business partnership. We did that in Uganda. Boy, did we learn a lesson. God helped us to get out of that. But 50-50 was not good. And you know, that's not good with a marriage. Marriage is not 50-50. Sometimes it's 90-10. Sometimes it's 99-1. Sometimes it's one more word. So don't always be trying to get frustrated that it's not 50-50. Watch your words. Cry out to God and speak the word. Fear not. And believe only, according to Luke chapter 8, verse 50. That works in the presence of death. The child is dead. Trouble the master no more. And Jesus immediately said, fear not. Believe only. And I say that to every one of us in the house today. No matter what you face, fear not. Believe only. It still works. It still works. And here's another interesting point. Seek good godly counsel if you need to. And don't go to your best friend. That could be where you got in a mess anyway. Don't tell your business to everybody. That's one thing I don't like about the media today. Do you know anything you post goes all over the world. The whole world knows you went to the bathroom in Walmart. If they want to know. You say, that's preposterous. Yeah, and what I'm talking about is preposterous too. Why in the world put your personal life and let it hang out? My God. But seek godly counsel. Don't tell everyone or go to the opposite sex for expert advice. Seek godly counsel. And you have to be sure that you're on the right track in finding that right godly counsel. But for God's sake, don't go to the opposite sex and hang out intimate details of your life. That doesn't work. Now, we're getting toward the end of this teaching today, and I trust that we're all learning something. But here's one of the most important things that you can learn in a marriage or in a friendship or some kind of relationship or whatever. Don't expect of your mate to be to you what only Jesus can be to you. I'm not a God to Joy, and Joy is not a God to me. Don't expect your companion to be to you what only Jesus can be to you. If you don't have a sweet experience with Jesus, then you're trying to find it in your companion. And we make poor gods. We all make poor gods. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't expect your mate to be what only Jesus can be to you. You know, there's times in everyone's life when all of us feel alone. You may be that one exception in the whole wide world. But especially when you're in leadership, there's a time that there's a loneliness that cannot be articulated. And that happens quite often, especially in pastoring. And I go back and sing a song that I heard sung when I was a little boy. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. None of us are so totally equipped that we can fulfill every little emotional need or sexual need or friendship need. There's times we all face a blackout of loneliness. It may be for a few moments, maybe for an hour, it may be for a day, could be for more than one day. And what you do in that moment, Jesus was fasting 40 days, had not seen anyone, had not eaten food. And guess who came to see him? The devil. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. You shall not live by husband alone or wife alone. Well, the little woman, she's the spiritual one in our family. If it was true, I wouldn't admit it. Men need to stand up and be the high priest of their home. And I know women seem to have a more tender heart. And this last week, Brother Bob Crow, his mother-in-law, Lynn's mother, passed away, Mrs. Scriber, 94 years of age. Real, genuine intercessors. Hard to find. I've received more than one message from Mabel Scriber. Tell Pastor Bob Nichols I pray for him. Even though I'm down in Mexico, I'm praying for him. Wow. Oh, Jesus. But she's gone home to be with the Lord. So there's got to be some other Mabel Scribers. That precious German woman that loved God with all of her heart, who interceded. Folks, we all need prayer more than we've ever needed it in our life. We need the practice and we need the prayer. We need to pray and we need to pray for one another. And you know, that's another thing. Joy usually goes to bed before I do. She sleeps a little longer. She sleeps a lot longer than I do. Before we get her good and tucked in, I always lay my hands on her. And I pray for God's blessing over her mind, her body, the entirety of her being. When she wakes up in the morning, I found a little something in Hallmark. And so I can sing it or I can play it. You make me happy when skies are blue. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. And no matter how grouchy she is, she starts giggling. And she starts smiling. And she gets to bouncing a little bit. And she says, "Oh, Bob." But I sing it again. You know, it's up to us to keep life interesting. You got to keep dating. You got to keep showing God's love. You say, "Well, she's not everything I want her to be." Well, honey, you ain't no prize either. Look in the mirror and thank God you got somebody. That's called amazing grace. Some of you are married to amazing grace and you've been married quite a while. But don't expect of your companion to be what only Jesus can be to you. Amen. You know, back in the Old Testament, divorce was granted under Moses because of the hardness of the heart. You know, sin hurts everyone. A lot of counseling and a lot of things we deal with are people that have had to deal with some nasty, ugly divorces in their families or relatives or whatever. And again, there's no condemnation this morning. I just love to help somebody that's been hurt. I love to remind people that you just sailed into a hope harbor today. Because no matter what your past has been, God loves you. And God wants the rest of your life to be so blessed and so enriched and so happy. And you know, really the bottom line for the most part is marriage is what you make it. Marriage is what you make it. What you put into it, it's what you get out of it. And love never fails. Love never fails. I didn't write that. It's in the book. The God kind of love never fails. So very quickly, daily invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life and marriage. Remember that no marriage is impossible with God. Change begins with the one who wants to see change. Be willing to repent and change for your part of what may be wrong. Forgiveness is an absolute must. Watch your words. The power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. Give God and yourself time to heal and rebuild. Marriage is not 50-50. Seek good godly counsel. Be careful who you talk to about your personal life. More people get off track on that one. Don't expect your mate to be what only Jesus can be to you and your spouse. Hallelujah. And may God bless the ministry of His Word today to help all of us look in the mirror and say, "God, help me to be the person that You want me to be and the person that is best for all around me to be." Hallelujah. I'd like for all of us to stand this morning, if you would. This message is very close to my heart. I've used it in counseling. I've used it in conferences. I'll be using it this next week in speaking to students up in Colorado. This message is proven. It's powerful. Every point that I've given you comes from the deep well of experience, and we've seen the Word of God. Not just with marriages, but marriages are certainly welcome. I wonder, Hannah would say, you know, I just want to see the rest of my life to be lived God's way. I wonder if we could come for a final word of prayer and stand here in this front area and just lift our heart to God and say, God, help me. I know we've changed the wording because it sounded so negative, but maybe we need to go back in the marriage vows. We don't pledge to be nice until the credit runs out or until the patience wears out or when we have a bad day or a bad week. And I come back to that particular point that I mentioned a moment ago. It is a dark story of a man that I talked with. He said, I can't forgive her. I refuse to forgive her. And it was a pretty rough deal. He turns around and over a period of time winds up doing two or three things that were just unthinkable. Unthinkable. And that was not like the man that I used to know. The man that I used to know as a minister. Boy, when you refuse to forgive, you open the door to craziness. We all got a little crazy that would like to come in the house out in your front yard. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to live the Jesus life. I'm going to forgive. And I'm going to let God bring healing in my life. It may be a marriage. It may be a friendship or relationship or your family. Father, we lift our voices this morning. And God, I ask you to help me. Help me, Lord, to be a better person, to be a better pastor, to be a better father, to be a better husband, to be a better grandfather, a better great-grandfather. Help me, Father, to live the Jesus life. And there are people standing before me that have been hurt very deeply. Deep hurts. Stories that may sound unbelievable. But Lord, when they drove those spikes into your hands on the cross of Calvary, forgiveness was paid for the vilest of sins, for the stickiest of circumstances, for the most unbelievable behavior. Lord, that even those that have murdered and shed blood can be forgiven and go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus. That the thief on the cross, who was more than a petty thief, he was a murderer, said, Lord, remember me today. Which meant every fiber of his being said, I believe, I repent, I trust you, Jesus. Jesus, you said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Father, I'm asking you that there just be a supernatural wave, a tsunami wave of the Holy Spirit of God today. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our pettiness. Forgive us of our humanity. Forgive us, Lord, for the words that we've spoken or the deeds that we have done. And Father, when we leave this church auditorium today, by the grace of God, we want to go home different men and different women and different boys and different girls. God, Lord, don't let us develop a hardness of heart. Hard-hearted, cynical, smart aleck, full of sarcasm and sarcastic words. But oh, Father, let the Spirit of God soften our hearts. Give us a heart like Jesus. Give us a heart that is willing and ready to forgive. Now, would you lift your voice and just say, Lord, I receive that. Hallelujah. Would you just pray this prayer with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive any sin, all sin, every harsh word, every wrong attitude, every sinful thought. I just lay it at your feet, Jesus. Wash me in your precious blood. Change me today. Thank you for having mercy upon me. I'm going home a different person because my faith is in God. Oh, lift a shout of victory here this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, this is good if you're married. It's good if you're single. It's good if you used to be married. Amen. Don't let your ex ruin the rest of your life. Come on. Take the nail-scarred hand of Jesus and let's go forward. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish and your nights turn to day. Just let go and let God have His way. One more time, would you? Oh, let go and let God.